A group of more than 200 farmers and business owners along the Missouri River has filed a lawsuit against the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. They're seeking compensation for claims the agency mismanaged the river since 2006, particularly the 2011 flooding that devastated hundreds of thousands of acres of mostly farmland in South Dakota, Nebraska, Iowa, Kansas, and Missouri. The plaintiffs are represented by the Polsinelli Law Firm based in Kansas City and the national firm Cohen Milstein Sellers & Toll. Joining us on the line is Seth Wright, an attorney for the Polsinelli firm. Mr. Wright, thanks for joining us on Dakota Midday.
Thanks for having me, Carl.
Also with us is Scott Olson, who farms near Takema, Nebraska, 40 miles north of Omaha. He's also an auctioneer and runs a used farm equipment business with his family. And Mr. Olson, thanks for joining the program as well.
Thanks for having me on here, sir.
And we'll just note again that a representative for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Omaha District says the Corps is aware of the filing, but as a standard practice, can't comment on the lawsuit. Well, Mr. Wright, we'll start with you. What is the basis of this lawsuit?
Well, our lawsuit is based upon devastating recurrent flooding along the Missouri River since 2006. And I believe you outlined it in your lead-in earlier that really this happened back in 2006 when the Corps decided to make changes to the master manual. And in doing so, they reversed over 60 decades of policies and procedures that favored flood control.
Now, you're using the Fifth Amendment as the basis of the lawsuit?
We are. We're using what's called the Takings Clause of the Fifth Amendment. And most people know that as eminent domain. And that clause states that the government cannot take your property without just compensation.
Did you consider other arguments on which to base the lawsuit?
We did, but the U.S. government, and here specifically the Corps, cannot be sued for mismanagement, and they can't be sued for a tort, which is a civil wrong, such as negligence or anything like that. So those claims are barred, and the government has immunity. But the government cannot take away your constitutional rights. Your constitutional rights are always guaranteed to you, and that's what's guaranteed in the Fifth Amendment.
Well, Scott Olson, how did you get involved and connected with this lawsuit?
Well, I've got about 500 acres of land that we farm that is next to the river. As the water started to rise and inundate our land, I started taking some aerial photos of what we were doing down there, what was happening. And as the flood continued, I kept taking pictures and more pictures and more pictures and started, you know, covering a lot more area. When I got done, I covered almost 200 miles of the river from Yankton, South Dakota to Big Lake, Missouri. And I have taken over 5,000 aerial photos. Our business this is our 52nd year in business, and we get to know a lot of people up and down these valleys as we've done our business. So many of the pictures that I took and of the flood and the land and the homes, I knew the people, saw what they lost and saw what had happened to so many of them. Somebody needed to have an idea of what to do. I had so many people call me because of my pictures and say, well, what can we do? You know, what avenues can we take? And I really did not have any answers for them. So as this lawsuit progressed, I helped these folks get some meetings together and get some information out there to the people so they could maybe have some kind of a recourse of what had happened.
Now, the pictures that you're talking about, these are from the 2011 flood?
Yes, sir.
How does the 2011 flood compare to your experiences? I understand your father farmed this land. We're talking about what happened before 2006.
We've never really had much for flooding. Where we are located, we're about 45 miles south of Sioux City, and the elevation here, of course, is a little bit higher than as it is further south of here. The river is channelized here. Most of the ground is fairly high. There's some flooding, localized flooding, on high waters in this area. But most of it is to the south of us. So we have never really had, great damage or very, very little damage to what was there. But the flood of 2011 was so deep and so wide that just the damage was absolutely enormous.
And from your perspective, your argument is that this was a man-made flood?
Yes, it was. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Mr. Wright, the flood that we're talking about right now, 2011, why has it taken, almost 3 years since the summer flood of 2011 to file this lawsuit?
Well, we actually started investigating this claim back in 2012, and one of our clients here close to St. Joseph, Missouri, by the name of Roger Eidecker, who's the lead plaintiff in this case, he owns Eidecker Farms, Inc., he came to us and said at that point in time he had experienced flooding in 4 out of 5 years. And he said, I don't know what's going on or what's happening with this river, but the river has changed. Can you take a look at this and see what you can find out? And in a lawsuit of this size and nature, it just takes time to do your due diligence and your investigation. And it also takes time to go out and try to locate and sign up over 200 clients like we have.
And how many South Dakota landowners are involved with this lawsuit?
At this point, I don't. I haven't quantified that. I think we've got somewhere between 5 and 10, but I would also say we've only had our first meetings in South Dakota probably 2 weeks ago.
And what?
So I expect that number to grow exponentially here in the coming weeks.
And what? When you say you've had meetings, what's been the basis of those meetings?
Well, we've had informational meetings up and down the river, and we were there 2 weeks ago in Pierre, and we also held another meeting down at Dakota Dunes in South Dakota at the request of Senator Dan Lederman, who's a state senator and also was a landowner that was impacted personally by the flood in 2011.
So you're looking for more people affected by the flood who could join the lawsuit?
Yes, it's not too late. If people want information and on the lawsuit, then they can visit our website, www.missouririverflooding.com.
MissouriRiverFlooding.com. Now, Scott Olson, we're approaching the 2014 planting season. What has been your experience with the land over the past couple of years since the 2011 flooding? Have you been able to recover? Are things back to normal?
It's a long way from normal. It'll take many, many years. We've got most of the land recovered. I still have a lot of sand to move and trying to find places to do it. Presently trying to work with the Corps on getting a permit to push some back over the bank. We'll see if they let me do it or not. Don't know. A lot of the land, you've lost all the humus out of it, all the dead vegetation and stuff. And there's, let me throw it out this way. To grow a decent crop, you need to get at least 8 to 12 inches of topsoil. And all the topsoil is gone, especially where the water had flowed. Where it backed in, it really did not seem to make much difference there, but where it flowed, it's been very, very destructive. Mother Nature will build topsoil the thickness of a dime per year. Now, to have 8 to 12 inches of good topsoil, that's a lot of dimes, so it'll take a lot of years to get back into good production.
Is your experience similar to your neighbors nearby to Cayman, Nebraska, as far as being able to farm the situation with all the sand that has covered the farmland in the wake of the 2011 flooding?
We've done a lot of work with people up and down the river, different ideas, different things. I've done a lot of work with both the state of Iowa and the state of Nebraska. We did some test plots down there, trying to find different results, ways to make things work. A lot of ideas. Cover crops seem to help on it, but it's going to take more time than anything just to put this back together. But one thing about my land is I have put most of mine back together, but I've got some neighbors down here that do not have that privilege. The flow of water across it has created some huge, huge holes in it, washed the materials completely away. When mine did it, it kind of upheaved it and moved it out across the land, and we picked it up and put it back in. But I've got some neighbors down here that there's no way to reclaim that. That ground is done.
When you say it's done, are we talking it's out of production for as long as you can imagine? Are we talking forever? Are we talking decades?
Well, decades would be short. There's some places down there where there's probably 500,000 cubic yards of soil gone out of huge holes. They'd have to purchase land someplace else, fill dirt, haul it in. The cost of that would be just absolutely astronomical compared to the cost of the land. There's so physically and financially, to put it back together, there's, you know, yeah, it could be done, but wow, the expense would be, like I said, astronomical.
Seth Wright, in talking with farmers and landowners from South Dakota down through Kansas, are you hearing similar stories to those of Scott Olson, or is it different depending on what part of the river that that they're on?
No, I think we see the same stories throughout. The devastation and the destruction is just amazing. And, you know, for us, agribusiness is the engine that fuels the Missouri River Basin. And, frankly, it fuels this country. And these changes are putting agribusiness and farmers at risk in the basin.
And we're talking about the changes, the changes to the master manual?
Yes, because the changes are continuing and ongoing. And so we believe that the flooding is not over. The flooding that we've seen throughout the years and in 2011, we believe, will continue and be ongoing into the future.
Are you looking for financial compensation or a change to the Army Corps of Engineers master manual for managing the river?
Well, the law says the only thing we can recover in this lawsuit is compensation for our losses. Now, we also hope, secondarily, although it's not a part of our lawsuit, that this will be an impetus for change. That there will be, that someone will take a look at the policies and practices the Corps has instituted on the river, and they will take a look and that they will, there at least be a conversation about whether there should be changes.
Now, it took, as I understand it, probably about 20 years to create the current master manual. Is there time for a change?
I think there is. You have to remember, prior to 2006, for six decades, the purpose of the master manual was flood control. And so all we are asking is that they go back and abide by what the Flood Control Act of 1944, in our opinion, requires, and that is for flood control to be the utmost priority. And when flood control is not the number one priority, you get exactly what we have gotten along the river since 2006, and that is devastating recurrent flooding.
When you talk about flooding not being the priority, does that referring to the importance of the under the master manual of protecting endangered species?
That is correct, and that's what we believe they've done. They have now subserviated fish and wildlife to flood control, and I want to be clear that the government has the right to do that. If they believe that the public good is served by benefiting fish and wildlife instead of flood control, then they can make that decision. But if they make that decision, the Fifth Amendment then requires them, if that leads to recurrent flooding, flooding that damages our client's property, that those property owners need to be compensated for that. And that's all we're asking for.
Now, the management of the Missouri River brings up all sorts of different issues and interests. We're just talking about what the farmers need. There's the concern over endangered species. There's flood control versus recreation. Does that just call in the whole complexities of what you're dealing with here in the management of the Missouri River and the master manual?
Yeah, I think you've nailed it. I mean, there are always going to be competing interests with respect to the Missouri River. But we believe that there should be at least a conversation as to whether the operational practices and procedures that the Corps have instituted are in the best interests of all those concerned living along the Missouri River.
Scott Olson, for you as a farmer and agribusinessman in Takema, near Takema, Nebraska, what would you like to see from this lawsuit, and what does it mean for you to be a part of this?
Well, I guess being a part of this, you know, every community works together, especially in the smaller communities. They say that the ag dollar turns seven times in a small community. Well, that's new cars, pickups, shoes, groceries, haircuts, whichever way you want to go with it. It's your fellow man that you work with, you know, your neighbor that you see every day you work with, you know. I guess it's kind of a common decency to try to keep what we have here. You know, it's a way of life. It's a living. I made the comment the other day that you know, I like to pass down my land or our land to our children as we, you know, get older and let them take over. You know, this river, the way they're headed with it right now, if they continue to do what they're doing, I'm not going to have much to pass down to the next generation.
And Seth Wright, finally, what's now the next step in this lawsuit?
Well, we believe, well, the Corps is either going to file an answer to our complaint or most likely a motion to dismiss is what we believe we will draw from them. And we believe the judge will rule in our favor and overrule that motion to dismiss. And then we'll be into what's called the discovery phase. And that'll be where we will depose the Corps and get their internal documents and find out exactly what decisions they made and why.
Right. Well, Mr. Wright, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us on Dakota Midday.
Thanks, Carl.
And Mr. Olson, thanks for your time as well.
Thank you very kindly, sir. Have a good one.
You too. Scott Olson farms near Takema, Nebraska, runs a used farm equipment business as well with his family. Seth Wright is an attorney for the Polsinelli Law Firm in Kansas City, and a group of more than 200 farmers and business owners along the Missouri River has filed a lawsuit against the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. They're seeking compensation for claims the agency mismanaged the river since 2006, particularly the 2011 flooding that devastated hundreds of thousands of acres of mostly farmland in South Dakota, Nebraska, Iowa, Kansas, and Missouri. A representative for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Omaha District says the Corps is aware of the filing, but as a standard practice, can't comment on the lawsuit.